Perhaps you've heard the tale of the exploding candy. In mid-September, a young girl from Florida was about to place a jawbreaker into her mouth when the thing exploded. The pictures posted on the internet aren't pretty. Come Christmas Eve, the vision in the girl's head will likely involve sugar plums doing some sort of war dance. Ma's in her kerchief and I'm in my thinking cap, and it's important to note that it's not clear exactly what happened in the Florida case. But where there's the possibility of exploding candy, there are lawyers. And predictably, where there are lawyers, there are fierce arguments over the rules of liability. If a person finds foreign matter in food, for example, the court will apply one of several competing tests. Two classic approaches are based on a breach of warranty claim for the food's quality and wholesomeness, in the words of one court. One asks whether the mystery object would be considered foreign or natural to the product. The other, whether a reasonable person would expect to find the object in the food. Troubling cases from Candyland provide the best examples of each, because sweets aren't always sweet and bonbons aren't always bon. Take the foreign natural test. Strictly applied, when a person finds something in her food that isn't supposed to be there, the manufacturer is absolutely liable when the thing is foreign to the foodstuff. Gunpowder comes to mind. But if the thing is natural to the food or its ingredients, the manufacturer isn't liable for anything. Examples? You find a mouse in your soda pop, that's foreign. You find a cherry pit in your cherry pie, that's natural. Metal in a candy bar, foreign. Cherry pit in cherry pecan ice cream, natural. Snake bone in a candy bar, foreign. I won't go on. Too pro-business, perhaps, the foreign natural test has fallen from favor in recent years. There was worry that, knowing of the test, manufacturers would grow careless about pits and other natural items. The Illinois Supreme Court, for one, explicitly rejected the foreign natural test a few years ago and instead crunched the numbing facts using the reasonable expectation test. When a woman found a nutshell in caramel pecan candy, a jury had to decide whether a similarly sweet-toothed eater would reasonably expect to find a shell in that particular sweet. If so, no recovery. If not, the manufacturer would get its just desserts and shell out in more ways than one. The court hinted hugely that the average consumer would not expect shells in chocolate candy given today's high factory standards. Reasonable expectation examples, glass in a candy bar, actionable, ditto for wire in a donut, and eating healthy for a moment, same for a burr in some peas. There's a light in all this candy darkness. The only mention of exploding candy in the law books is from way back in 1916, and the case had nothing to do with candy but everything to do with explosives. In it, the court mentioned casually that candy makers back then sometimes put tiny amounts of explosives in candies to make the candy coverings burst open when ruptured. We've certainly paved a safer candy aisle since 1916, events in Florida notwithstanding. Meantime, America Online has announced plans for a new online radio show for children. It promises that among the offerings, teen heartthrobs will answer kids' questions like, quoting now, "How fast can you eat a jawbreaker?" Don't ask me to hold the stopwatch. I'm Amy Guida.